Jacob is going to read our scripture today. Do you know that Jacob is in charge of our audio system? Thank you, Jacob.
Scripture reading is Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, and since we have the great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jacob. Today is the last day of meditating on the book of Hebrews. Yay! Chris, and I'm sure most of you want to get over Hebrews. Today's passage is like a conclusion of Hebrews. What have we learned in Hebrews up to this point? That Jesus is our great and sympathetic high priest, our heavenly advocate before the throne of God. Unlike the earthly high priest in the Old Testament, who could go into the most holy place once a year, with sacrifices for his own sin first, Jesus, the heavenly high priest, goes into the most holy place in heaven through his own body, given on the cross for sinners. My congregant, Berba said, mighty congregant. Even if you may forget everything else, just to remember one thing, that Jesus is the eternal high priest. As your high priest, our Lord went to the cross and died for you for the forgiveness of sins, and gave you eternal life as you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Good. I feel you really mean amen. Good. We as Christians have the mission that God has given us. Some of you already memorized that the mission of the church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. However, the reality of the world we live in today is increasingly distant from God. Many Christians who received a mission to transform the world surrendered to the world and abandoned their mission. This mission is not reserved for professionally trained missionaries or pastors. It is the responsibility of every Christian. God puts us in the world, commanding us to diligently sow the seeds of the gospel wherever we are, and to become a fragrance of Christ to the world through our good deeds. trees. Can you smell that aroma of the Holy Spirit in us, in our sanctuary? But when you think about the mission of God being carried out through you, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to feel like you are going alone into that mission field, but you aren't. First of all, you go with a priest on your side, that great high priest who would never forsake you. Not only that, God also wants to use each of us in one another's lives as we carry out the mission of God. We have each other, our eternal family. Whether you like it or not, we will be together eternally. Can you imagine that? Oh, Michelle Kim. So, you don't have to withdraw yourself when you feel alone. Instead, reach out to your companions, your church members, and share when you need their help and prayers. Now, let us look at the scripture where the author of Hebrews gives us a final word of advice. In verse 19, the author begins the passage with, therefore. As the author concludes the demonstration of Jesus as the high priest, he gives us wisdom for us to apply in our life through letters statements. He just gives us letters in this short five verses. First, in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The very first thing it demands of us is to draw near, not by our works, but by faith in Jesus' work. We draw near with conscience already cleansed by faith, body already washed in the waters of our baptism. Second, verse 23 urges us, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope. We must hold fast to a confession. That confession is a promise of hope, the gospel, the good news, that the Christ King has come to win his kingdom, that he has redeemed his people by his own blood. Therefore, hold fast to your confession even when you sin. Trust Jesus, who is holding you even when you are about to give up. Third, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The word spur means to deliberately provoke. It is almost always used in the New Testament with a negative connotation, such as deliberately picking a fight with someone. But here the word is used positively. We are to find a strategy which will enable us to deliberately provoke one another to love and do good deeds. You know what? This Afghan relief is the one of the examples, right? We just deliberately provoke one another to do good deeds, to love. So remember the two actions, love and good deeds. Love is also action. During this difficult time, when we are under tremendous pressure, we are faced with two great temptations. That is, the first is to get angry, and the second is to give up. Love will help us not become angry, and good deeds will help us to not give up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because," everybody said, "God is love." Beloved, let us love one another, accept and embrace one another, so that everyone in our congregation would feel loved, and everyone we meet can smell the aroma of love through us. If we want to provoke one another to love and do good deeds, the author urges us to do two things in verse 25. First is, let us not give up meeting together. This was a great temptation to those first century believers, especially Jewish believers, who felt the pressure from their families and friends. But Christianity is always covenantal and communal, not individualistic. Some people have a habit of not meeting together, but the author says that we are not to adopt such a habit. You must not give in to the cultural forces that are laboring to keep you alone and disconnected from the local church. You must stay connected through worshiping together, singing together, receiving word and sacrament, fellowship with the saints. The harder the times, the more we need each other. If you have been away from the church, now is the time to reconnect, reset yourself, and enjoy the faithful life you have missed. I am sure you will never regret your decision to reconnect with the Lord and church life. Next is, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us encourage one another. Here the day is undoubtedly the day of the Lord's return. According to the gospel's teachings, where Jesus described the signs of the last days, the world will be plunged into unprecedented turmoil. One example is in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 11, that there are many warning signs of the day. Wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, quakes, false prophets, and so on. Among them, Jesus specifically warns of losing love. Verse 10 says, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Also, verse 12 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. It seems that today is a world where love grows colder and hate grows bigger. In times like today, we need more love and encouragement from one another. Are you agree? Yes. There is so much despair and hatred in the world these days. Mark Twain said, I can live for a week off with one good compliment. One good compliment. William James, the father of modern psychology, said, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And George Adams said, encouragement is the oxygen of the soul. Without that oxygen of the soul, we cannot breathe. Our soul needs encouragement. So look around each other. Practice yourself to give encouragement one another. I am surely proud of our church members who have diligently come to church to worship, participate in small group studies, and generously give donations for the mission of our church. Nevertheless, we still need to reset for the powerful, fruitful ministries as we prepare the post-COVID times. Therefore, no matter what kind of life you have lived, or how much fruit our church has dedicated to the Lord in the past, today we need to reset together for the mission of church. When should we normally press reset? When the power goes out and comes back on, you have to press the reset for appliances to work again. Likewise, if you haven't been able to live an empowering life as a Christian, maybe you have had a problem with your power connection with Christ. Jesus Christ, who has already overcome the world, who has already defeated Satan, amen, amen, who has already conquered sin and death, amen, has become your high priest. Jesus has always been on your side, and he will never leave you alone. So all you need is to know how great the power is endowed on you. However, in order for that amazing power to become actually yours, to become our church's, we have to reset. This spiritual reset is no small thing. It will bring a huge life change. It will bring change in our church. The important thing is that for the church to receive power, each one of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It will be difficult if even one or two church members are blocked from the active work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, at this time, we all need to reset together in order to receive the power of the Lord. Are you ready? Seven of them said yes. What about how many are here? What about those 30s? Let me briefly summarize for you to make a decision. Resetting means you decided to draw near to God, and you decided to hold fast the confession to Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. Then you want to live considering others in love and good deeds. Finally, you never want to give up meeting with other faithful church members and build up relationship with them, encouraging one another as we get through this difficult time. By the way, there is a secret of love and encouragement that we should not miss. The more you encourage others, the more you are encouraged. Can you believe it? By helping others, you help yourself the most. By strengthening others, you are strengthened. Amen. Like the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the more you give, the more you receive, and the more you love, the more you will be loved. Now, are you ready to reset your life for the mission of God?
Yes.
Good job. About 17 of you said yes. I just lift up those 23 to our Lord. Let us close our eyes and begin to pray. How you need God's power and grace as you live in this difficult time. Although we don't know how we can ever return to your normal life, ask God to pour out the courage to reset your life and live as a faithful disciple of our Lord. Talk to God in your heart. God, who within you said, "Come to me, I'm with you, I know you, I made you." Give your worries and concerns and stay with me in this peaceful presence. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon those who ask your power upon them. Oh God, lead them to give their life to you. Guide them how to build up an intimate relationship with you. Oh Holy Spirit, Move among us. Heal us as you see the needs to be healed among us. Love us. Help us love you more and grow our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.